Invite you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27. Thank you so much, Hannah and Hannah. Reuben. What a man Balthazar Hubmaier was. Can you imagine experiencing what he experienced for the cause of Christ? Some perhaps have criticized him for his recantation, but I've never been stretched on a rack. I would like to think that I would not renounce my confession of faith in Jesus, but I've never been there. And later he wrote that eloquent apology after being such a strong voice for New Testament truth throughout his life as a believer. Thanks for sharing that with us tonight. Matthew 27, I'd like for us to think about crucifying Christ. We read in verse 32, as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots, and sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. The preceding 10 hours of Christ's life were filled with havoc and tension. The 10 hours between his agony-filled prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and Pilate's careless decree that he be crucified. Let's review those events briefly. Jesus was arrested by a large band of armed men who accompanied Judas to the garden. He faced illegal tribunals during the hours of the night before standing trial before the great Sanhedrin just after sunrise. He was sentenced to death at the early morning session of the Sanhedrin. Members of that body blindfolded Jesus and beat him. And then the temple police gave him more of the same abuse. They took the Lord to Pilate, the Roman procurator, who pronounced Jesus innocent, and then remanded his case to Herod Antipas, the Jewish king. Herod sent Christ back to Pilate after permitting the high priests and scribes to scream their accusations at him, and then participated while his soldiers mocked the Lord and treated him with contempt. Pilate, intimidated by the Jews, turned Jesus over to Roman soldiers under his command to be scourged in preparation for crucifixion. And in verse 27, we read, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. That's where Jesus had been during the previous hours. Now, at approximately 8 o'clock in the morning on this fateful day, they are taking him away to be crucified. For verse 31 says, they led him away to crucify him. Crucifixion originated with the Phoenicians, but the Romans adopted and refined this method of execution. Even Rome, cruel as it was, did not utilize crucifixion as a penalty for its own citizens. They reserved crucifixion for rebels, runaway slaves, and the lowest of criminals. Crucifixion has been described as, quote, the most terrible and cruel death which man has ever devised for taking vengeance on his fellow man, unquote. In the process, the criminal was fastened to a cross, his body already torn and bleeding from scourging. There he hung to die of hunger, thirst, and exposure to the elements, unable even to defend himself from the torture of the gnats and flies that settled on his naked body and his bleeding wounds. I think it's difficult for us to imagine the awful smells and sounds and sensations of the scene at any cross. It is not a pretty picture, but that is what Jesus suffered willingly for us. Tonight, let's focus on three perspectives that Matthew, the only eyewitness to record the event, provides in his gospel. And when I read Matthew's account of the crucifixion, I see these three things. First of all, I see Christ outside the camp. In verse 32, we read, as they were coming out. Both Jewish and Roman executions always occurred outside the city. Prisoners were escorted through heavily populated streets by a squad of four Roman soldiers. The cross would then be placed in a highly visible location, frequently at the intersection of two roads. This morning, they led Jesus and the two criminals who were to be crucified with him through the city of Jerusalem and outside the city wall to the north. There, Jesus bore the disgrace and defilement of your sins and my sins outside the city. Here is how Hebrews chapter 13 reads. The bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. That is a reference to the fact that the carcass of the goat that was sacrificed on the Jewish Day of Atonement could not be eaten by the priests. It had to be burned outside the walls of Jerusalem. So Jesus, whose blood was shed to atone for our sins once for all, died, according to Hebrews, outside the gate. The main point is that Christ suffered disgrace. He suffered shame. He suffered rejection. He suffered expulsion while being punished with the most humiliating form of death possible. I think the application that comes out of that passage in Hebrews chapter 13 is that you and I who have experienced his salvation, the salvation provided through Christ's suffering, Christ's humiliation, Christ's rejection, Christ's death, we ought to be willing to identify with Jesus, even when that means that we must go outside the camp and that we must accept the same reproach that he experienced and endured. So tonight, a very practical, personal question would be, am I willing to be distinct? Am I willing to be different from the in crowd? Am I willing to stand out, even if it means that I am going to suffer insults, rejection, abuse of some kind? Are you willing to be rejected by family members, by friends, by co-workers, by neighbors in order to identify with Jesus? You see, when I look at the crucifixion through Matthew's eyes, I see Christ outside the camp. I also see Christ sharing his cross. In verse 32, we continue to read, "As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross." Matthew does not tell us specifically that Jesus carried his cross, but he implies that Christ did, and that someone needed to relieve him of that burden. It was normal for the convicted criminal to carry or drag his cross to the place of crucifixion. John informs us in chapter 19, verse 17 of his gospel that Jesus did that. A cross was not a light load, and Jesus was exhausted physically. The abuse that people heaped on him had taken its toll. I can picture Christ in the weakness of his humanity breaking down under that load so completely that even his executioners understood that no number of blows could force him to continue. In fact, a careful reading of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 22, hints, at least, that the soldiers may actually have helped to carry Christ to Golgotha, that he could not make it on his own. If that was indeed the case, the soldiers had a solution, as Matthew tells us. They would not disgrace themselves by carrying a criminal's cross, but they could force a Jew who was a member of the, a citizen of the occupied country, to perform any task that they wished, no matter how menial that task was or how distasteful that task might be. And a Roman soldier could do that simply by tapping the flat side of a spear on that man's shoulder and thereby press him into service. As they were taking Jesus out to the place of crucifixion, a Jew from North Africa named Simon was entering Jerusalem. So the soldiers pressed this hapless African into service to carry Jesus' cross to Golgotha. I observed from reading Matthew's account that Simon was forced to carry Christ's cross, but that he came to the place where he shared that cross gladly. I'm going to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 21, for that insight. It says this about the soldiers. They pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. How do you think Simon felt about carrying a cross? Do you think he may have been embarrassed? Do you think he may have been ashamed? It's almost certain that he would have been demeaned to be forced to that extremity by the Romans. Simon's sons, Alexander and Rufus, were so well known to early churches that they needed no further identification. Mark didn't give a family name. He simply said that Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and he expected all of his readers to understand who those two men were. It seems likely on that terrible day, while Simon watched Jesus die for our sins and for Simon's sins, that Christ's love demonstrated there on the cross gripped Simon's heart. What seemed at first to be his day of shame became Simon's day of glory. You know, Christ calls every would-be disciple to share his cross. We have his words recorded in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone wishes to come after me, if you want to be my follower, my disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, you have to be like Simon. Only the decision to take up my cross, to carry a cross, must not be because a Roman soldier places his spear on your shoulder. It must be volitional. It must be voluntary. It must be your choice, your decision. Have you picked up that cross? Well, here I am, Lord. You said, take up your cross, and I'm here to do it. It's not easy, you know, the self-denial thing. I mean, to go through with it, though, yes, sir. I'll bet you wish more people were willing disciples like me. I've counted the cost and surrendered my life, though, like the song says, it's not an easy road. Do you mind if I look over these crosses? I'd kind of like a new one. Not that I'm fussy. You understand that a young disciple should be able to relate. You know, I was wondering, are there any that are padded and maybe covered with something like vinyl? I'm thinking of attracting others, you see, and if I could show them a comfortable cross, I'm sure that I could win a lot more. I ought to keep relevant with how people are feeling and all, and I need something durable so I can treasure it always. Is there one that's sort of flat so that it would fit under my coat? One shouldn't be too obvious. Surely you don't want me to stand out and be different. There doesn't seem to be much choice here. Just coarse, rough wood. I mean, that would hurt. Don't you have something that looks a little nicer, Lord? I can tell you right now, my friends will not be impressed by this poor workmanship. They might think I've gone nuts, and my family will be totally mortified. What's that? It's either one of these or forget the whole thing. But Lord, I want to be your disciple. I mean, just being with you, that's all that counts. But life has to have a balance too. But you don't understand. Nobody lives that way today. Who's going to be attracted by this self-denial bit? I mean, I want to, but let's not overdo it. If I get fanatical, they'll haul me off to a mental institution. Know what I mean? I mean, being a disciple is challenging and exciting, and I want to do it, but I do have some individual rights. You know, like, no blood, okay? I just can't stand the thought of that, Lord. Lord, Jesus, now, where do you suppose he went? Are you willing to stand outside the in crowd with Jesus? Are you willing to deny yourself and die to yourself for Jesus? Finally, when I look at the crucifixion through Matthew's eyes, I see Christ bearing my pain, verse 33. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. Isaiah described Jesus as a man of sorrows, full of pain. David described some of the pain that Christ suffered in graphic detail in Psalm 22, verses 14, 15, 16, 17. Christ had already suffered flesh-tearing, bone-crushing, heart-rending pain, but now they brought him to Golgotha, the place of his ultimate suffering, as we read in verse 33. There, Jesus was crucified. Have you ever watched video clips of men being prepared for execution? They're always sedated. They're always restrained securely. You know, men sentenced to crucifixion would not be compliant, willing victims, but would fight their captors. So the soldiers attempted to drug Jesus. Verse 34, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. Mark wrote it this way, they tried, And he used an imperfect verb tense. It means this, has this sense. They kept on trying to give him wine mixed with myrrh. This was not an act of mercy by the soldiers. They were not trying to dull Christ's pain. They wanted to sedate him. But Jesus rejected the painkiller time after time because it says, after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. He determined to experience the final ordeal of suffering with a clear mind. Jesus determined to feel all of the pain of the punishment due our sins. And then, 6 long hours later, he cried out, "It is finished." He had suffered it all. No wonder then the songwriter asked the question, "Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree?" Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for suffering in our place, for taking our guilt, our penalty, our punishment, our pain. When we look at the cross as pictured in the scriptures, we can only stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, who gave you who gave yourself for us so completely. We can only say thank you. Amen.